Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
Hello there and welcome to Examiner Sports Allianz League Review. Hurling dominates today's show, and over the next half an hour or so, we will hear from Walter Walsh, PM O'Sullivan and Anthony Daly as they look back on the weekend's Allianz League action. Plus, John Fogarty joins us to unravel the complexities of GAA Congress. Our first point of call today is Thurles, where Michael Moynihan met Walter Walsh ahead of the Allianz League meeting of Tipperary and Kilkenny on Sunday. They began by speaking about Limerick's approach to yesterday's impressive win in Nolan Park and how the champions aren't resting on their laurels.
They have a lot of strong men around the middle third and they seem to be particularly efficient there. Are they different to other teams, or cliches, every team trying to win that battle in the middle of the field?
Yeah, no, they definitely, they're really, who are attacking breaks, and they kind of, they come up trumps that way. They dropped very far down the field just to kind of swarm that area. They had more numbers than we did. So that's something that we need to look at. I suppose we were probably outnumbered in certain areas of the field, and they were winning a lot of the ball because of that. So we need to see how we can counteract that. And look, again, Tipperary play a different style, well, not different style, but a different way. And so we just need to see how they're playing and see what we can do to counteract it. But again, every game is different. You don't know one game is the same. So you need to be thinking on your feet on the field as well.
I mean, you've been through the celebrations after all Ireland. Is it surprising to you that a team that, or a county that has had such a long famine, that they seem to be so refocused straight away? It doesn't seem to be much of a hangover, apparently.
Yeah, I don't think many teams are like that. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, there was more All-Ireland teams coming back and enjoying the celebrations. But it's kind of, that's gone so, I suppose, competitive within even the Limerick squad, that the guys have had to, each other pushing each other and they're driving each other on. They all want to be on the team, and that you'd see that even when Galway won last year as well. They came back in great shape as well, and I think you kind of have to. If you don't, you could be the league, you won't be that competitive in, and then that might follow on into the championship. So you kind of, you just need to keep on top of things, and they've seemed to have done that really well. But again, you see Dublin, the football, they don't I suppose celebrate too much. They're focused, they're doing their gym programs or whatever, keeping fit, and that's kind of the way it's gone now. There's not guys coming back after celebrating too hard.
Obviously, it's disappointing to lose, but a lot of people noticed maybe Brian's interview that, you know, he wasn't losing the rag in public. How valuable is that kind of experience, though, fellas who've been there, like last year when you had a poor start to the league, you know, you can turn it around. How valuable is his experience in keeping things going?
Yeah, I suppose you just need to take it every game on game, and Brian would definitely say that. Don't do it. That game is finished with. We might analyse it a bit, see where we can improve. But you're looking forward to the next game, and it's kind of week on week now. If you were to get to a league final, it's every weekend now until, I think it's the 24th of March or something like that, is when it finishes. So you don't dwell on these games. You know, Tipperary is a massive challenge, and that's what we're looking straight towards. We're gearing our attention for straight away. That's what you have to do. You take it game by game, whether you win or whether you lose. It's always the next game.
The fact that the Ballyhale lads and some very high profile fellas aren't around, you know, is that a crutch? Because you know you'll be stronger when you come back, or is it, you know, the opportunity for the fellas to come in, obviously, stake it clean?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great, because when they come back, they'll freshen the whole thing up as well. And yeah, there's guys getting chances, and these guys are getting valuable game time. You know, even when you start off yourself, you want. I suppose it takes a while to get used to how intercounty is and how it's played. And there's guys really setting in well, and they're making our panel stronger and stronger. There's competition for places just getting greater and greater with the addition of some of these younger guys who are seriously talented players. So look, I think it's only nearly a good thing, because we know we have guys that are going to come back in, and they're not guaranteed to be starting. If you know, straight away when they come back in. They need to work on it. That just builds competition. That builds, you know, that builds a team and a panel and a squad that we need. We need to be successful.
And our thanks to Walter Walsh and our own Michael Moynihan for that. We're going to stay now with all things Kilkenny. We're heading back down to Nolan Park. Patrick PM O'Sullivan was there for Sunday's defeat to Limerick. And what has been the reaction, Patrick, in Kilkenny to that pretty comprehensive loss to the All-Ireland champions?
There's been a really strong reaction to Limerick's emphatic win over Kilkenny yesterday, and probably for a number of reasons over and above this actual result. You had a former Kilkenny player, Jackie Tyrrell, come out during the week and didn't consider that Limerick are in the top three hurling counties in Ireland as regards prospects for 2019. I met a Limerick friend before the game for a cup of tea, and he wasn't, shall we say, best pleased with that, and I wouldn't doubt that it actually provided an extra sliver of encouragement for Limerick. But really and truly, it wasn't about any external factors. It was about Limerick coming to Nolan Park and making a statement as All-Ireland champions, and they surely did do that. I mean, it was a paradoxical game in a way, which I think is one of the reasons it is worrying for Kilkenny and for Kilkenny supporters, because they were really competitive for 32 minutes. They were 8-7 down, just a point down. Could have been really one or two up. Kevin Kelly missed some eminently scorable frees. But when the Limerick surge came, Kilkenny didn't have any answer. And that's the really worrying thing. Because, you know, when you're for 30-odd minutes, when you're really competitive, and then suddenly your competitiveness just essentially collapses, you do have to make certain inferences. And one of them would be about the collective confidence level of the team. Obviously, also individual confidence levels of some of the players, particularly of the young players. And second, about the leadership capability within the team. Because it makes no sense in one way to be so competitive for that amount of time in the first half against the wind, and then to come out with the wind and not to make any impact on Limerick. The expectation wouldn't have been that they would have overturned a 9-point deficit, but I think there would have been the expectation that they might have got it down to 4 or 5 and see where it took them, if they could have established a bit of momentum. But the opposite happened. Limerick came out, took over the third quarter, and I think I saw in one report, you know, they outscored Kilkenny between the 33rd and 47th minutes by 2-9 to a point, a 14-point lead. So at that stage, it looked like Limerick were going to win by, say, 19 points rather than 9. Kilkenny rallied, but you know, I think it had more to do with Limerick, you know, clutching down and thinking that it extracted enough out of the tank and that they'd the game won, and, you know, the game tapered out to a large extent.
Now, for all the talk and all the hype, where exactly does this win leave Limerick?
Where does it leave Limerick? I think, you know, it's good old-fashioned man management we're seeing from John Kiley and his colleagues. I mean, they essentially started with a whole new spine to the team, new full-back, new centre-back, one new midfielder, new centre-forward, new full-forward from the team that started last August's All-Ireland final against Galway. So he's doing two things, I think, John Kiley, by this approach. He's given extra responsibility to players who've been, you know, on the wing or in the corner or maybe not starting. And he's asking them to take on responsibility and develop their game first and foremost, but he's also creating other candidates for his central spine. He didn't have to start Keane Lynch and Declan Hannan, but their replacements in centre back and centre field, Dan Morrissey and Robbie Hanley, did well. And you know, he's just getting a bigger spread of options, and he's, I would imagine, going to have fairly tasty training sessions down the line on the back of those extra options. So it's just good old-fashioned, if you like, man management and panel management.
Mm. Now, I noted the headline on Paul Keane's piece in today's Irish Examiner that Limerick raised the bar. Have they tweaked their tactics at all since last August?
Limerick played really well, and when they had to play really well to win the game, and not just win it, I suppose, kind of comprehensively seize it. You know, they play against the wind. I mean, they were different than in the first half. Pretty orthodox in the first half. Obviously, the half forwards coming deep, and picking up ball, but that was much more prevalent in the second half, as John Kiely said afterwards. You know, maybe their game is more suited to playing against the wind, but they play this possession game. But I would make a point. We talk about technique and tactics and all the rest of it, but you know, the fundamental aspect in a game of hurling occurs when you can get your own half-back line dominant, and everything flows from that. And whatever your approach is, if your half-backs are dominant, everything is going to fall much more easily into place. And that's what happened in the second half, in the third quarter. Limerick were able to play this almost possession game, winning it and moving it from player to player in a support position, moving the ball up the field. As well, they had Aaron Gillan as de facto full forward, very close to the goal, with the two corner forwards dropping out into space vacated by wing forwards who would move deeper down the field. So they were able to get ball into either side of Gillan. There was space there, and that was really effective, and he was really good, although Conor Delaney, the Kilkenny fullback, stuck, as they would say, manfully to his task. But you know, whatever way Limerick were going to play in either half, it was always going to be founded on the dominance of their halfbacks, and they were just, they out-muscled the Kilkenny players. Their touch was very good. They were dominant, really. After that 30-minute spell in the first half, they were dominant in all the ways that counted, and everything else flowed from that.
Now, looking at some of the pictures today, Brian Cody looked pretty animated on the sideline yesterday. How big of a setback was this to his rebuilding process?
For Kilkenny, as I've said, there's probably question mark about the confidence levels in this group. There's probably a question mark now about some guys. I mean, you've had James Maher being taken off three league matches in a row, which is unfortunate. I mean, it looked last year like he was going to have you know, on the basis of his 2008 performances, it looked like he was going to have a really strong 2019, and that you could ink him in for one half of midfield partnership. At the moment, that's not happening. Hopefully for him, you know, he'll turn a corner, but form is not there at the moment. Conor Fogarty's partner midfield taken off at half time. So midfield is a real problem area for Kilkenny now at the moment. Yes, you've got Richie Hogan hopefully to come back in. You've got Killian Buckley to come back in. You've got the Ballyhale contingent. But there are certain aspects of the Kilkenny game that are kind of worrying. And it might be that while it seemed that in 2018 Kilkenny had improved a lot on 2017, becoming a top six team again, winning the National League, putting it up to Limerick strongly in the All-Ireland quarter final, you would wonder if that was to read too much into those positive performances and maybe not enough into less positive, less flattering performances, you know, against Wexford in the round robin, against Galway in the round robin, against Galway in the replayed Leinster final. I don't know at the moment, but I think Kilkenny supporters probably had a little bit of optimism about an improvement on 2018 and 2019 after the first two rounds of the league. I think that's been very much deflated by yesterday. And Persilin alone returning won't, you know, cure some of the problems. They still don't have a sort of secure way of, you know, using their own puck outs. I mean, we saw yesterday the second goal came from a misfired short puck out. They seem to find it difficult to deal with a team that plays with a lot of people deep. You know, they found it difficult against Wexford in the Walsh Cup, against Kevin Poley's sweeper. They found it difficult in the second half yesterday, with so many of the Limerick players playing in their own half of the field. So this is something with which they'll have to get to grips if they're going to progress, not just in 2019, but in the next few years. And it has to be, you know, not just in terms of the short term, which is this upcoming Leinster Round Robin and the All-Ireland Championship, if Kilkenny make it into it. But in the next couple of years, because, you know, Richie Hogan will be 31 in August, TJ will be 32 in November. And do we see candidates putting up their hand to eventually, you know, replace them as the main men in attack? I mean, hopefully Hogan and Reid can hold on for at least another couple of years. But are we seeing people who are, you know, going to down the line replace them? Hard to see it at the moment, to be honest.
No, hectic weekend of hurling, not just in the Allianz League, but the Munster post-primary schools finals were on Saturday, the Harty Cup and the Tom Cullum Cup final. All Cork affairs, over 7,000 people in Páirc Uaireann. Anthony Daly joins us now on the line. Anthony, before we talk about these matches, just want to talk about your memories of the Harty Cup with St Flannan's.
Oh, they're fading fast, Cullum. Not your great, I was always, once you went in there as a first year, Flannan's were great at the time, you know, they're always contenders for the Harty, so all you really wanted to do, your ambition for the 5 years is to get an okay leaving, but definitely make the Harty Cup team, you know, so. And that wasn't easy, obviously, because at the time, Flannan's had a lot of boarders and a lot of good hurlers in those boarders as well, so, yeah, you just had to knuckle down, didn't really make much of an impression the first 2-3 years, you know. Sob, I think, an under-15 team, Conor Forward on a Dean Ryan team. But played well for my club in 86, and we won the Minor A Championship, and I was playing Conor back, and there was a bit of something like that. Going up to the first trials and put back Conor back, and, you know, from there I did okay. So we had a great team. You know, we'd 5 Limerick minors, a Tip minor, and everybody else was a Clare minor, so it was a serious team. Yeah, nobody came kind of near us, to be honest. We had no battles at all. We eased our way through it, if you like. But it was fantastic. It was my first time, I will say, that I ever felt real nerves was the morning of the Harty final. We actually beat Middleton in that Harty final. And, you know, Middleton had beaten us in under 15, had beaten us in the Dean Ryan. So Middleton had a fair pedigree. But I actually really felt nerves that morning for the first time in a kind of a real way, if you know what I mean, Colm. You know, I kind of didn't want to eat a bit of breakfast and stuff like that. And normally, no, that would never have affected me, but you realise the magnitude of that day, that morning.
And that leads me nicely into a very nice column today from Donal O'Grady in the Examiner about the importance for Cork hurling going forward to have success at secondary schools level. And, you know, he was making the point that young lads, this is the first time they'll ever experience this kind of day, this kind of atmosphere, this kind of crowd, this kind of pressure. Do you think that you yourself probably improved as a result of that experience?
Oh, without a doubt. And I would read an article from Don Lowe during the week as well, where he said, you know, if he didn't win the Harty, he didn't know if he was going to be hurling. Like, but yeah, I saw it as a, you know, I had gone into Flannan's as a first year, second year, when they had those great teams in 82 and 83, and fantastic battles with the North Monastery, Teddy McCarthy on the team, and, you know, they're just amazing games to be brought, and maybe 14 buses from Flannan's would go, and God, you just wanted to be out there. And yeah, I think Donal is right on that. I mean, every lad that was there yesterday from Middleton, hopefully from CBC, that they might chuck away the rugby altogether and can we get them hurling full time. But no, they will see it as a really, really special day, a day any kind of young fella pertaining to be a bit cool would want to be on that team. And yeah, absolutely, we there's no doubt about it. I think I was driven by the exploits of others, and I'd like to think that some lads saw us and they were driven by our exploits. So yeah, it is a huge one to win, but it's a huge one to be in the final of as well, and all that goes that way.
And the fact that it was two Cork teams, Hamilton High School from Bandon and St Francis Rochestown in the B final as well. But I suppose, Anthony, the thing to preach, I suppose, is patience for Cork fans. You know, it'll be another few years before we'll be seeing these lads moving up the grades, up to under 20 and up to senior.
Oh, that's it. Sure, you're just going to have to wait. But you know, I would have even said it in the commentary there, Cullum, on Saturday, like having been involved with Limerick 2 years ago and for 3 previous years then, like Cork were always the standard bearers at those competitions. You know, in general, they had the best team. So, like, it's not just happening out of a shot. It might take a bit longer for it to happen in Harty Cup, and I suppose North Monastery were the big players, really, especially Fern Ferris closed down as well. And so the man, I suppose, has gone through different times, so it needs a school like Middleton, and indeed a traditional rugby school like CBC to come out there and get to the final. But look, I think Cork hurling's a very good place. Cork GA maybe is not, but that'll be sorted, no doubt. And I think players don't get too concerned about that. So much talk about it, but I don't think players, I mean, it bothers them. You know, they get a chance to get on that blood and bandage, and they'll do anything for that. So, look, it's yeah, this Hearty is a once-off game. It was a great occasion, the B final as well. You know, I remember it in Clare 1 year that Shannon Comprehensive came up and took on St. Flannan's in the Hearty final. I think it was 89 or 90. You could say it's that league's 95, but I don't think too many of the players were on the field. 95, a few of them. But no, it's the overall work that's been done, I think, and that has been done and is being done. And that's, look at, that's why Cork were 6 points up on Limerick last year, you know, coming down the straight. And, you know, Nicky Quaid's piece of goalkeeping on Shem Sarnady, I suppose, got Limerick to the final. If Cork were in the final, maybe they'd have won it. And people wouldn't be saying we have to wait for these Hearty Cup players, because if you have to do that, so it doesn't work out like that always. I mean, our team wasn't touched, as I said, in Hearty. I'd say about two of us, myself and Pat Heffernan, and him for Limerick, me for Clare. Fergie too, but Fergie was only a sub on that Hearty team. Fergie made it for Clare, obviously. Alan Neville, another sub on that Hearty team, he played for Clare, but not too many more. Do you know, and it's not, there's no definite answers as to why they do and they don't come through. Do you know, Colm, it's just these few years ahead now are vital, like colleges and where do they go and is there a hurling culture and all that. So, no, I think it's the work overall. To me, it's work that's been done. Like Cork have had very good minor teams last couple of years, been unlucky, and very good development squads, the under-21s. Okay, you'd say deservedly beaten by Tipperary final, but I'd say they played that final. Do you know, and that's hurling. You know, that's hurling for you. I mean, look at Clare played the arse off Cork, if you like, in the first half. They went down the tunnel level, so that's hurling. Sometimes you don't quite get what you deserve out of it, but no, it's another sign for the future of Cork, and I do think they're in a very strong position.
Okay, leads us nicely into the Allianz League game between Cork and Clare on Saturday night. You were there on RTE duty. The headline in today's Examiner, Horgan punishes Clare in discipline. Sums it all up for you?
Yeah, absolutely sums it up, you know. And give him those frees and he scored them. He scored 15 of them, you know, 15 points and frees. Like, you just have to say, you know, that you won't be winning too many games if you're going to give away 15 points of free, unless extraordinary stuff happens at the other end. Added to that, then at the other end, we let in a soft goal. Maybe question was the goalie fouled? Tight one. But we also missed about 3-4 maybe very scoreable frees, which Peter Duggan would normally score. Colm, he would be a very good free taker, and he had an off night. And fair enough, they took him off and all that goes with that. But look. Dougie'll get the radar back in again, and there's no doubt about that. It won't be a confidence crisis for him or anything like that. But when you do miss those, concede a soft goal, and then concede frees, 15 in total that are scored, you'll be finding it very hard to win, to be honest with you. I thought with about 10 minutes to go, there was only one winner, and that was Cork. I suppose just had a quick word to James Hardy out in the field. I think Marty was going to interview him for something, so he had him over near the RTE kind of desk, if you like, pouring rain, and Marty kept the umbrella over his own head and left poor Jamie out in the rain, like, you know, he was watching the hair, I'd say, you know. But had a quick word to Jamie, I'd know him, and I said, gee, must be in a great dressing room to be in at half time. I said, you know, level, and you probably shouldn't have been. Oh, 100%. He said, I couldn't believe where we were, and sure, everyone tried to drive it on from there then, and that was in my head around the half time period as well, that Cork would say, lads, this is a savage chance to kick start our season here. You know, they're fouling us, they're not getting goals. Clare never really threatened goals either, which is, they're the two things Clare will want to work on. Taking away from it will be, you know, stop deal discipline. They did do that last year for the championship. And also, you know, create goal chances. That'll be the two things I would say you'll be bringing into training this week.
You had
two home games, Clare, you know, they have Wexford and they have Limerick, so there is a chance if they can, it's like Ninnis, if they can get their act together, and the record is very strong, obviously, Ninnis.
You had a very interesting piece today, Anthony, in terms of tackling and Clare tackling the high free count. But what exactly, you know, to break down the tackle, what exactly are Clare doing wrong and what do they need to do right?
Sure, a lot of them, Cullum, they shouldn't even be tackles at all, like, you know. There was no need to tackle, and the next thing, there was two guys going in around a guy three at times, and to be honest, like, that just leads to, you know, six pairs of arms around, and maybe throw three hurlies in with those six pairs of arms then, And sure, any little overstep in the mark, the ref is going to punish it. And I thought that went on too often. I mean, the one on Alan Cadigan where he tried to break out towards the sideline, and two clear lads sandwiched him with their legs, if you like. So it came right across him, and that sort of stuff. Like, to just look at the video and they say, right, the 15 Horgan freeze. And you might say three of them, yeah, okay, you did the right thing, you went in for it, okay, you were blown. But you'll definitely say 12, no, what could we have done different there, lads? And you get the players to answer you. You know, and they'll be the first to say, yeah, I went in too high. You might have the odd lads saying, that wasn't a free. But in general, lads are good to, you know, put up the hand and to say, you know, it was a major problem for Clare over the last 4 or 5 years, and certainly last summer there was a definite help towards the Clare cause in that, that they were more disciplined, they were more clinical in the tackle. That, you know, I think Joe Schmidt there has a little phrase he uses, you know, Ireland's tackle count was the highest when he took over in the Six Nations, and reduced it to the lowest within a year. And like, what they talk about is smart edge. Still keep your edge. Do you know, you need your edge, you need to tackle hard, but you must tackle smart. Do you know, so that smart edge, I think Clare would need to buy into that big time. And some of the ones, you know, a little tug back in the jersey when a fella maybe is down on goal, you know, so you can't really blame a guy for that. You know, that's taking one for the team, really. You get a yellow, and you're preventing a goal, I suppose, in one way. But no, loads to work on, and John Mider must have been delighted with the sight of Patrick Horgan coming out, sending over a free puck.
Okay, we're going to turn our attention to Allianz League action on Sunday. Wexford, Tipperary down in Wexford Park. Liam Sheedy, not a happy bunny afterwards, Anthony. Rightly so?
Yeah. I only saw the recorded coverage of it now, Cullum. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see too much wrong with it, to be honest. I thought Wexford, very like they did against Limerick, they fought and fought and fought for everything. They're in a great position though after the match, but I thought they really stayed in the game. Like, Limerick looked to be that bit better than them at times. Tip looked to be that bit better than them, but they hung in there. They never gave up no matter what way the scoreline went, and I thought they got their rewards down the stretch. They were lucky not to get them against Limerick. Obviously Conor McDonald hit the post that day, but no, I just felt, you know, they'd have been disappointed with the goal they let in. But they worked tremendously hard. They did the same in Cork 2 weeks ago on dreadful conditions. So they'd be delighted with that, because, you know, you're looking to go into the championship and make your home place a bit of a fortress. And that's two wins now. They've ratcheted up and also played very well at home against Limerick. So, you know, I think, and like, you have to remember as well, Lee Chin is only coming out as a sub in these games. So when he's really ready to start, if he could have a huge season, very disappointing last year, so if he had a huge season, that really gives them an extra dimension to their game.
Do you think Davey's approaching the league differently this year than he did 12 months ago?
If he listens to me, he would anyway, because I keep saying they should go, so he definitely won't be taken too serious. But I can't see why it wouldn't be good for Wexford to go and have a right go at the league and try and win it. They're in a good position now to maybe, you know, be in the closing stages of it. Still two tough games to go, but you know, they have 4 points on the board, so, you know, one win probably puts them through. And I would love to see them going for the league and really saying we want it. I don't think it'll do any harm at all going into because personnel wise they've been down bodies the same as everybody else. So if you can be winning in games like that, you know, and then doing your business there, it bodes well for, you know, what, like Ian Byrne hitting the freeze yesterday, you know, that would be kind of a new frame. And that kind of thing, Jim Lateef, I thought was outstanding in the middle of field. You know, things like that, like against Cork, you know, they were down a couple, they had to send it off against Wexford. So, you know, I would say Wexford would take a lot of that. For Tip, slightly worried, you know, you'd be slightly worried that and a whole pile of young lads are not starting to appear all of a sudden. Yes, you know, is there a bit of pace? That was generally, you know, what I was hearing off fellas last night is, well, the Tip pace is gone now. It is winter ground and all that, but you wonder, is there a yard or half a yard gone from the likes of Bonner, you know, Noel McGrath, you know, even Jason Ford, Niall O'Mara, is Shandy inside? Are they just time catching up with them and they're at it a long, long time, in fairness to them, and know, is there a lack of pace around that team that needs to be introduced? And I presume there's options there with the under-21s and the minors in the last few years.
Now, a quick mention of the sponsors of our podcast. Allianz Insurance support people and communities throughout Ireland and have sponsored the Allianz Leagues and Allianz Cum an na Munscoil for over 27 years. Go to allianz.ie today for a home, motor or pet quote. Allianz. Now, the annual GAA Congress gets underway on Friday in White's Hotel in Wexford. John Fogarty will be down there for us. First of all, John, what are the motions most of interest this year?
40 motions up for debate, Cullum. A lot of them housekeeping, a lot of them that won't really resonate with the general public, but there certainly are a few that will. Namely the Donegal motion, that was which is the penultimate motion to be heard on Saturday in Wexford. That's no team is allowed to nominate Croke Park as their home venue in the Super 8. Now, this is going to be very interesting to see how this debate goes, because obviously Donegal mightn't have mentioned Dublin in the motion, but it is all about Dublin, let's be honest. Their de facto home venue has become Croke Park, and their familiarity with it now has upset a lot of people. How the top table see this will be interesting, because John Horne, speaking last year, mentioned that, you know, this wouldn't be an issue if Dublin weren't so successful, and he's right, there's no denying about that, but it really is sticking in the craw of some counties now. So that one will probably be one of the strongest ones of the day. Obviously there's other ones, reactionary motions from incidents and situations that happened last year, like the Lee Miller motion that would, that's Central Council now being given the power to make available GAA property held by provinces or counties but not clubs for activities other than those controlled by the association. So that basically means that, you know, if another proposal like the Lee Miller charity game is made to the GAA this year, they won't have their hands tied by the rules. They will be able to go ahead and give the green light to the game or any charitable game like that. That would incorporate obviously the Rugby World Cup bid if the RFU are to go for it again in 2027, but that remains to be seen. There's a New Bridge or Nowhere motion that really clarifies the powers and the authority of the Central Competitions Control Committee in terms of deciding home venues for senior inter-county games in both the Lee McCarthy and Sam Maguire, all senior inter-county championship games. That's just given them more of a clarification. Again, more tidying up, there's a little bit of a relaxing of the training camp ban rule. Obviously, three counties were caught out. A few got away with it, you might argue, or certainly there was no evidence found to prove that they had broken the inter-county training camp ban, which basically says that you can't stage a training camp beyond 10 days from a championship game or 17 from an All-Ireland final. There's a little bit of a relaxing of that now, in the sense that, you know, it's now going to be regarded as something that involves an overnight stay. The word weekend had been used previously in that, and there's going to be a kind of a phased winter inter-county training ban that had been in place for the last 4 or 5 years, from what I can recall, but that's now going to be changed on an annual basis. And then one of the other motions that obviously will pick up a lot of interest is Kilkenny's proposal to move the All-Ireland Finals to September, or to give the Central Council the authority to push them back there so as to create another pocket of space after the provincial hurling championship, provincial football championship, so that's club championship games could go ahead. Obviously Kilkenny are well used to staging club championship games after inter-county senior games, but they haven't been able to do that, certainly not last year anyway, with the new schedule and the new structure of the championship. So that will be it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because there is a kind of a counter motion to that previously, where the Central Council are proposing that the All-Ireland Finals be decided in terms of the number of the week of the year as opposed to what month it is. So an All-Ireland football final could fall in August, it could fall in September, just depending on the week, on the number of the week of the year.
And how do you think they will fare?
The Donegal motion, in terms of how that's going to fare, I think there will be a bit of a push against this, in the sense that Dublin have been very good to the coffers of the GAA. And as much as that, there would be suggestions in the past that, or certainly in the recent past, that their attractiveness has waned in the early part of the Leinster Championship, obviously, where it's just regarded that they're going to sail through even some of the Super 8 games. There's almost an understanding that they're going to, you know, progress, no doubt. In fact, if anything, the biggest attraction for Dublin supporters at the moment is Dublin on the road. But this is hitting at the heart of it. Number one, it's hitting Dublin, and there might be a bit of blowback against that. And in terms of the fact that Dublin have been so good and so lucrative to the GAA, there might be a concern that if the Dublin are to be moved out to smaller attendances, if they have to nominate a venue like Portlaoise or Thurles or something like that as their home venue, there might be issues there. Although Donegal certainly will have support from some counties in the Western Seaboard, from my understanding. It's going to be a tight one. Obviously, you need 60%. In terms of the Liam Miller motion, the Newbridge and Orr motion, I think those are going to sail through. And usually when, you know, it's very difficult to see Central Council motions not going through. You know, they're very few and far between them not going through. Obviously, the training camp motion, I think, might go through. There might be a proposal or an amendment for one or two of the counties that got caught out last year. But no, I think that will go through. And then there's a lot of ones, as I said to you, from Crow Park that just will get the supporters. No denying that, because you know the canvassing will have been done as we speak, probably, or certainly as we get closer to Congress and White's Hotel.
Now, we've spoken about what is on the agenda. What isn't on the agenda this weekend?
What isn't on the agenda? What is surprising that isn't on the agenda is the tier championship. But clearly, John Horne, who has said that he fully supports the idea and wants to see it implemented, they want more time. So I think we might see that at a special congress later in the year. That special congress will also other motions that will be tabled to that will include the experimental football rules that are being played at the moment. Don't be surprised if you see something added like ruling out the back pass or a backward kick pass, backward hand pass to the goalkeeper. I think that has, as much as we haven't seen it in operation, I think that has generated a lot of support in the last couple of weeks. So I think that might be tabled, as much as the forward slide line kick between the 230 metre lines, the sin bin. Obviously, I still think that has to be worked out, because there's definitely abuse of the sin bin, in the sense that there's so much opportunity to time waste, because it's exactly 10 minutes from the time the person has been removed from the field. The offensive mark looks like it could be onto a winner, although you would like to see that, I would like to see that just restricted to the 20 metre line, the ball being caught inside the 20 metre line, because I think there's a lot of cheap marks being made outside the 20 metre line and the 45. That's something definitely I think that has to be improved on. And then obviously the 20 metre kick for goalkeepers, as much as we haven't seen Stephen Cluxon do that yet, hopefully he'll be back in action now in the next couple of weeks, and you'd like to see how the best in the business treats that. But that looks like it's going to be on a win or two. So the fact that the tier championship and the experimental rules aren't on the agenda will surprise a couple of people. And then another thing that surprised me is that there was definitely a mention that the GAA were going to look at tightening up some of the sideline their sideline issues that obviously was seen in Kerry and Tyrone last year. We were told there was going to be a rule coming to Congress before Christmas about that, but that hasn't been seen. And then I think what surprised some people as well is that the changes to the Hurling League didn't need the backing of the backing of Congress. They got the thumbs up from Central Council, so we're going to see that obviously change next year. And we have the situation where we have a relegation playoff in a couple of weeks where there's not going to be any relegation. It's only the losers, or the winners, whatever, it's only going to dictate which group they go into next year, which seems a little bit silly, but that is the way. I don't think there's going to be huge surprises. This is obviously John Horan's first Congress. It's a first, obviously, for Tom Ryan as well. Obviously, the GA courted a good bit of controversy last year with the whole Liam Miller situation, with the whole Newbridge situation, and then the ticket prices recently. Although you look at some of the crowds that have been coming to the game, certainly in Nolan Park yesterday, and you're thinking, there doesn't seem to be any issue there. But I don't think the issue is with hurling. I think the issue is with football in terms of attendances. And I think that the ticket prices, the proof of the pudding will be in the height of the summer, and where we see how the attendances for the football are going, because those ticket prices, they just seem they're badly timed for football anyway, whatever. And you can understand where the GA come from in terms of the money that they're trying to raise, but it just seems like bad timing after what was one of the poorest football championships in a long time. But I don't think I think Tom Ryan, he's still in a honeymoon period, in the sense that he's still getting his feet under the table. It's the biggest job in Irish sport. I don't think anyone's going to stand up from it's going to stand up and give out or complain. There might be, I don't think we're going to hear too much about Páirc Caoimhe. I'd be surprised, to be honest with you. Obviously, that was another controversy. And as much as the bill isn't as wide or as suggested by Peter McKenna, he was obviously looking at the worst case scenario. So, you know, let's see if that total price rises above 100 million. I don't think it would surprise anybody. But no, I think it's going to run pretty smoothly. This is a first one, as I said to you, for John Horan, a first one for Tom Ryan. So not that they will be given a pass, but there will be an understanding there that the guys are just still getting to grips with the position. As I said, Tom Ryan isn't in the job a year. John Horan is only in the job a year now. So next year might be a different situation if certain things haven't improved on. But I don't expect anybody to be complaining too much.
And that's it for this week's edition of the Examiner Sport Allianz League Review. As always, thanks to all our guests for joining us on the programme, to Walter Walsh, Patrick PM O'Sullivan, Anthony Daly, and to John Fogarty. And as always, a Bula Boss as well for Larry Ryan, who produced and edited the show. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for Examiner Sport. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review. We always welcome your feedback. You can also listen on SoundCloud and Stitcher, or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or irishexaminer.com/podcast. Talk to you again next week.
Allianz. Supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.